And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation, and it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light, the National Broadcasting Company, and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, Sam's Farm, was written by Ruth Gruber and is based on Miss Gruber's article, He Makes the Deserts Bloom, which appeared recently in the Reader's Digest. You're Sam. You're Sam Hamburg. You're 6 feet tall, but you're stooped from 30 years of smelling and turning the good earth. You're 57, but sometimes you look 70, with furrows in your face like the furrows in your land. You're Sam Hamburg, who conquered the desert in California. And out of the agony and loneliness and torment of your life, you did good and noble things. You were always a lonely man, Sam Hamburg, a dreamer who was drawn to the land. From the days you landed on these shores in 1920, a penniless immigrant of 20, you were drawn to the desert.
Sam, Sam, stay here in New York. You are my sister's son. We will help you.
No, Uncle Saul. New York is not for me. I'm going out to California to study farming.
What kind of nonsense is this? Farming. A bright young boy like you, a farmer. Stay in New York. You belong here. You're a writer, a poet. Ah, Shmulik, I remember how you translated Hauptmann's Weavers into Hebrew when you were 12 years old. You'll work in my printing plant a while. Then you can write. You love music. You can go to concerts. This is a world for you to conquer.
I don't belong here. I belong on the land.
Penniless, Sam Hamburg went to California to study farming at the university in Berkeley. His professor recognized his talents and offered him a job as a teacher. But the land was in his blood. Desert land. Sam heard that desert land was being given away for practically nothing to any brave man who would dare to tame it. With $2 in his pocket, Sam put up a tent and took on the land that had licked hundreds of men before him. For 30 years, he fought a desperate, nearly suicidal fight against everything the desert could throw at him. His cotton crop was wiped out by early frost. His wheat crop was wiped out by rust. His wells ran dry. He brought a river 40 miles away to his ranch and lifted it 300 feet to water his land. He married. He had 3 children. But his life was the desert. By 1952, he was the master of a ranch the size of the island of Manhattan. He was a millionaire farmer. He had conquered the desert. But the desert also conquered him. His desert was blooming, but he had all but destroyed himself. At 52, he was a lonely, restless, almost broken man. He left his desert and went to the mountains to search his soul. High in the Rockies, at Aspen, Colorado, he heard Dr. Albert Schweitzer play Bach at the Goethe Festival. He was playing the 130th Psalm. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Sam sat there in the vast hall, listening to Schweitzer, and a conversation took place in his mind. But because it took place in his mind, did it not actually take place?
Dr. Schweitzer, my name is Sam Hamburg.
Sit down, please.
Dr. Schweitzer, I want to tell you something. I listen to you play, and I say to myself, such peace. Such peace I have never seen in any man's face. How does one achieve such peace? Dr. Schweitzer, I'm a rich, successful farmer, as we reckon these things in America, but I'm finished. I'm broken. I don't know where to go from here. I live alone on my desert in agony and the torture of solitude.
Mr. Hamburg, you are not alone in agony. Everyone has a burden of pain.
Tell me.
It is good to know pain. Those who have learned what physical pain and bodily anguish mean belong together.
You've been in Africa a long time. Have you missed 30 years of culture?
A man doesn't miss anything if he loves what he's doing.
I shouldn't be bothering you.
Man belongs to man. Man has claims on man. Does anyone have a claim on you?
What do you mean?
I thought the people in Africa had a claim on me. Does anyone, anywhere, have a claim on you?
Yes. There are people who have a claim on me. 6 million people have a claim on me.
There is a living remnant, is there not?
Yes. There is a living remnant. In Israel. I know who has a claim on me.
Why don't you go to Israel? Teach your people. There are deserts in Israel.
A rich and broken man returning to his people in search of himself. And the desert was in Israel, and Sam Hamburg raged with anger and went to David Ben-Gurion.
Your farms are ridiculous.
We still eat.
Your people are afraid of this land.
We came here.
Sure, it's no jungle. You've been farming for 50 years, barnyard farming.
Our people ripped up this rocks with their fingernails.
So what?
They love this land.
Love isn't enough. What are you talking about, love? Love with apologies, love with fear, love without horizons. That's not love.
Horizons? Our whole vision is of one great horizon.
Your farms have no horizon. Your farmers know only how to plant tiny fields with tiny plants.
What do you want?
Little fields mean little production. Little production means poverty. Big fields mean good living.
We have found a wasteland?
I know, it's still a wasteland, but the wasteland is not only in the desert. It's in the heart of the people. You're all afraid. You have vision, Mr. Prime Minister, but you too are still afraid.
Afraid? Of what?
Of your land. Of your capacity to produce. You don't know what you got here. The best soil in the world. The most uniform climate.
Mr. Humble. What do you know of our desert?
I'm a desert farmer. You can raise the finest cotton in the world.
Come to the Negev with me tomorrow and pick out the places for cotton.
Not tomorrow. I've got to fly to California tomorrow to get in my crop. I'll come back in 30 days.
On the morning of the 30th day, on the 15th of March, on the 18th day of the month of Adar, a safari of some 50 experts set out for the Negev. In the lead car sat two men, two dreamers whose life work was to repair the desert, the human desert.
Driver, stop the car. I want to take a look.
Sam lay down on the ground and smelled the soil.
Dead land.
How do you know?
The way you know history, that's the way I know soil.
If we brought water.
I tell you, this land is a corpse. Nature has discarded it. You find corpses like this all over the world. Let's not waste time. Driver, go on. stop here.
This is Ibim. Is this good land?
Yes, master. This land is good.
Not a blade of grass here.
It will raise crops.
How do you know?
I feel it.
How do you feel things like that? The experts tell me this land won't take water.
Experts, bookkeepers. You don't know what you got here. I'm selling you real estate. This land is your salvation. Give me a piece of desolation and I'll build you a farm. I'll send you my machines and my men from California. I'll bring you my seeds. I'll teach your farmers to look up from their tiny fields and their tiny barnyard crops. I'll teach them to plant straight furrows.
Your prize.
Master, I don't need money. I need you. I need to help you.
Sam Hamburg looking for a piece of desolation. Drought-ridden land. Yellow. Parched. For years, no one had touched it. 50 years. Yet the River Jordan lay below, 200 feet below. Driving with Haim Gvati, Israel's director of agriculture, Sam found a piece of desolation.
Sam, this is abandoned land.
It's rich.
Look at those weeds and thorns.
We're going to farm it.
Why?
If it can grow thorns, it can grow crops.
They made a fire. They burned weeds. They burned thorns. Wild pigs ran out of the suddenly naked hills. Sam bent down and smelled the soil.
This is the richest land I've ever seen. We're going to farm good here.
Okay, Sam. This is your farm. Harad Shmuel, we'll call it. Huh? Sam's farm.
Because Israel is a small country, everyone is digging deep. Everyone is going down, digging deeper into history, deeper into the mind, deeper into the subsoil of what it is that makes a man a partner with God. Sam Hamburg flew back to the United States. Soon he was back in Israel with an American water engineer, Eugene Woolley.
Sam, I always thought you were a character. I changed my mind. You're a madman.
Yeah, okay, but lift the water to the mountain.
Engineers from America. Equipment Sam had designed, sent from his ranch in California. They built lifts, ditches, canals. They raised the River Jordan 220 feet high. Sam had the water now to kiss his land. He taught men and women how to plant long, straight furrows of cotton, hybrid corn, peanuts, sugar beets, tobacco, winter tomatoes. They worked on Chavat Shmuel, on Sam's farm, by day, and went home to their immigrant camps at night. Shoemakers from Tunisia, merchants from Baghdad, silversmiths from Yemen, beggars from the mellahs of Casablanca, planting furrows to the horizon. And when the water came up out of the Jordan and flowed across the straight furrows, the men and women from all the ingathering stopped their work to watch the miracle.
We read it in the book of Isaiah. And the parched land shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water.
Isaiah said it, and he was right. But it's going to be rough work. We got to fix the desert. We got to fix the people, too.
You're ruining this cotton.
I'm doing what you taught me.
Pick up your check. You're through.
Oh, I have a sick husband, little children. What will I do?
See the welfare department.
What's all the fighting about?
She spoils every bowl of cotton she touches. How can we raise cotton with such people? They were never on the land.
You can't fire her. This is her land.
Lady, what's your name?
Sarah.
A good name. A mother in Israel. You never saw cotton grow before, huh?
Never.
Well, I'll teach you. You'll be the best cotton picker in the desert. Now watch me and you'll see how it's done.
You're Sam, tormented dreamer who can serve only through service. Some rich men find happiness in giving money. You can find happiness only in giving yourself. Sam Hamburg, serving God by giving Sam Hamburg.
Sam, look at these tomatoes. Winter tomatoes. I never dreamed you could raise so much on half an acre. I never knew how big half an acre is.
How big is half an acre, Avram? As big as your imagination.
How big is Israel? How big is man? Measure it in height and depth and heart. How big is Israel? As big as the capacity of your land to produce. As big as the desire of your people to suffer and survive and win. Sam was learning to measure Israel. He flew back and forth, California to Israel, Israel to California, 5-6 times a year. Sam, the repairman, repairing the desert, repairing the people, repairing Sam. The loneliness still there. The agony still there. That other lonely man, David Ben-Gurion, still there. The two lonely men met one night and talked of the great vision of loneliness.
Why do you love your California desert, Sam?
Master, why do you go to Sdeb Bokor in the desert?
There is a tremendous sense of achievement when you are developing a desert. The desert is our future. The Negev is the future of Israel. We are moving south in the desert, the way you Americans moved westward in the prairies.
The whole world is one desert.
Every man must go to the desert to find himself, to get away from people for a while, and become part of the stars. That's when you can see things clearly. That's when you know what road you should take.
To me, the desert is loneliness. Loneliness is a clean thing. Loneliness is atonement. Loneliness is dedication. Loneliness is the power to take scorn, defeat, nightmares. Loneliness is strength. The strength for tomorrow. There are no friends in the desert. We desert people, you and I, we don't know how to have friends. But there's a brotherhood of anguish there in that loneliness.
You know, Sam, in Jewish history, the people who wanted to do something for other people had to find themselves first. Remember our prophets had to go to themselves first. Remember our prophets had to go to the desert to purify themselves. That was standard training for prophets, hmm? To be a prophet, you didn't have to go to college and get a PhD. You had to suffer. You had to know hunger. You had to know pain. You learned it in the desert. Sam, what are you looking for in the desert?
I'm looking for God.
And?
Master, I don't know nothing about theology or philosophy or history. But I learned in that California desert that you develop a desert forever. It's not like you're building a bridge or a factory. It's eternity. You're moving into eternity. You're moving into the mystery of the universe. Everything has a rhythm. Day follows night. Night follows day. Summer follows the spring. The earth moves around the sun. The moon rises and sets. A woman gives birth in 9 months. The universe is working for you. When you learn the direction of life, then you've learned what the desert can teach.
Why were you so long in coming to us?
I wasn't ready. 30 years on the desert purified me. Now I go to Israel clean.
It is written that he who begins a good deed is asked to complete it. Sam Hamburg had begun his mitzvah, his good deed. Now his days and nights were spent completing it. He drove around the country. He came to a transit camp in Beertuvia. He saw new immigrants, unemployed, doing make-work jobs, weeding trees.
I see $200,000 lying on that soil, and you've got people wasting their time weeding trees.
What would you do?
Teach them to raise carrots.
He brought carrot seeds from America, and the new immigrants raised fine carrots. He taught them to put the carrots into cellophane bags, and they sold the bags of fine carrots to the American troops in Germany. Immigrants no longer unemployed, and they moved out of their tents into pretty white stucco houses.
Hey, you, how you doing?
Fine.
What's your name?
Shalom Gamliel.
You ever raised carrots before?
I never saw a carrot before. In Yemen, we believe in miracles. There's an American. His name is Sam. He flies down here like a bird. When Sam comes, the land is empty. He works the land. When he is gone, there is a farm, and there is food, and there is joy in the hearts of the people. Before he came, we were hungry. Now we can eat.
Did you ever see this man?
No, I never see him. No one sees him. He comes fast. He goes fast. But I tell you, we are an old people. When we pray in the Shacharit service, every morning we thank Sam. He gives us shoes. He gives us food. He gives us work again. You are Sam.
How do you know?
I see it in your eyes.
You're Sam, and the agony and the terror of the years on your desert are softening a little. But still an angry man, shouting at everyone with a voice like a truck going over to gravel.
You're supposed to be idealists. You're supposed to be great ideologists. I don't know nothing about your ideology, but your cotton is burning. I know about cotton. If you don't irrigate that cotton, I'll take it away from you.
Sam returned the next day. The cotton field was irrigated.
Look. You don't owe me nothing. Why is everybody afraid of me? Why?
Because you care.
The main thing in life is to care. Take care of your crops.
Nothing ever came easy to Israel or to Sam Hamburg. One morning, a cable reached him in the desert in California.
The cotton bug has learned to live with the insecticide, spreading like wildfire. May lose entire cotton crop. Please come.
To save our cotton?
Welcome back. We hope you'll save our cotton.
This is Cold Israel. Attention, Sam Hamburg has just arrived.
Sam is back.
That's Sam. Flies in like a bird.
I warned you, farmers, if you leave an inch of cotton unsprayed, you're in trouble. What were you doing? Drinking tea? You can't lick the desert with committee meetings. Anyway, here's new insecticide.
Sam spent 19 hours without rest, fixing the nozzles of sprays so that not an inch of cotton would escape the coating of the new insecticide.
This is Cole Israel. We have asked Sam Hamburg, the father of Israel's cotton, to speak to you tonight on the cotton crisis.
My friends, when I got the cable, I was mortally afraid. I have never been so frightened in my life. I thought the whole thing we had built together was falling apart. But these are the pangs of birth. Now I'm glad it happened. I know the love and devotion you've brought to the planting of cotton. Now you'll be more careful. This is precision work. You can't outsmart nature. She never lets you get careless. We learn by our mistakes, expensive mistakes. But the cotton is saved.
And the cotton grew tall at Chavat Shmuel, Sam's farm, the land that the builders themselves had rejected. From all over Israel, farmers came to look and to carry home with them the picture they saw. Desert land blooming. Desert land made fertile. Rows of green cotton and corn marching like proud soldiers straight to the horizon. A desert that sang. The sun was setting in pink shadows on the bareback mountains of Jordan when Sam looked at the fertile land and the River Jordan flowing through it. And he remembered the weeds and thorns and the wild pigs that had lived there. And tears streamed down his face. And he fell down and kissed the soil of Eretz Yisrael.
The loneliness in the desert is the price you pay. You marry the desert. Never leave your desert. As long as you work to conquer your desert, no one can destroy you.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. Our Eternal Light drama today, Sam's Farm, was written by Ruth Gruber and was based on Miss Gruber's article, He Makes the Deserts Bloom, which appeared recently in the Reader's Digest. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Joseph Boland as Sam Hamburg. David Ben-Gurion was impersonated by Ben Astar. Albert Schweitzer was impersonated by Leslie Barrett. Others in the cast were Ronnie List, Ivor Francis, Alan Bergman, David Ross, Kerry Mark Joels, Mandel Kramer, Daniel Acco, Charles Webster, Sam Raskin, and Ida Reese-Merrin. The narrator, Alexander Scorby. This is Mel Brandt. Our program was directed by George Voutsos. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.